Hello, and welcome back to the program that helps you learn and improve your American English. You will also find out what is happening in our world at the same time. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. Today, our eyes are on Egypt, where a new president has just been elected. A lot of his time will probably be spent on trying to fix the economy. We'll have details. Then we'll visit some places in the U.S. where a new kind of technology is being used in the energy business. We call the program As It Is because that's the way we give you our world every day. Former Army Chief Abdel Fattah el-Sisi easily won Egypt's presidential election last week. Egyptian officials say he received more than 90% of the votes. During the election campaign, the former military commander promised to fix Egypt's economy. Many Egyptians have high hopes for newfound safety and a better economy. But Mr. Sisi is asking Egyptians to give up more, to make sacrifices, and he has warned them that it will take years to reform the economy. But how much are the Egyptian people willing to give up? The country has had 3 long years of political unrest and no clear economic program. Ana Mateo has more.
Egypt's tourist sites are known throughout the world. But these days, people are not lined up to see the Great Pyramids of Giza. Foreign visitors are not filling bus after bus for a ride to the Great Sphinx. Locals say the tourist industry, like others in Egypt, has been flat. Ahmed Allah makes traditional boxes and games out of wood and other materials. He says business has been bad since the 2011 revolution.
So actually before the revolution, we was working very much, and it was a lot. It was many tourists in Egypt, but after the revolution, we feel very, very bad because the economy in Egypt, it's not only the tourists. Everything is damaged and everything's fall down.
President-elect Abdel Fattah al-Sisi's ideas to improve the economy were already in play before the votes were counted. The government plans to cut aid programs and reduce the national deficit. But economic experts warn that this plan could cause more unrest. Mr. Sisi has called for sacrifices from the Egyptian people. To help the economy recover, he suggests they eat less food, walk more, and use less electricity. The president-elect says that under his leadership, Egypt's economy will improve greatly within 2 years. But human rights workers watching the situation closely say 2 years is too long. Some predict Egyptians may take to the streets in protest again. Mr. Sisi will be the country's third president in 3.5 years. The other two were ousted after popular protests. Mr. Sisi has been leading Egypt since the army jailed former president Mohamed Morsi last July. Thousands of people have been killed or arrested since then. Most of those detained are accused of having ties with the Muslim Brotherhood. Even with years of social and political unrest, many Egyptians are willing to sacrifice for their country. Ahmed is a craftsman. He earns less than $150 a month, and he says he can live with some sacrifices.
We need to work more, and we need to give Egypt more, because we can exchange the life different than now.
He says that he hopes some tourists will return to his market now that a real president is in power again. I'm Ana Mateo.
A new technology has brought a lot of development to rural towns on the Bakken Shale Formation in the northern United States. Energy companies use the technology to remove oil from the earth through a process called hydraulic fracturing, or fracking. As we hear from Ann Ball, the development brings risks and riches.
6 years ago, astronauts in space saw only darkness when they looked at western North Dakota and eastern Montana. But the area can now be seen from the International Space Station because of thousands of intense fires. They are the oil fields fueling a red-hot energy industry in the United States. Fracking has brought changes to North Dakota. It enables the removal of oil from shale deposits, like the Bakken Shale Formation. The search for oil deposits has increased activity in once sleepy towns like Williston, North Dakota. In 2000, the state's population was about 620,000. North Dakota State University professor Nancy Hoder says the population is now closer to 730,000.
It's a record high. It's never been bigger.
And the expansion continues to create jobs.
We don't have as many people as we need to fill all those jobs. And we've got high participation in the workforce.
And not just in the oil fields. Businesses are having a hard time filling job openings, from driving trucks to making food in the growing number of restaurants. Cam Holt owns a restaurant. He says there is a shortage of homes, which has caused a jump in housing prices.
80 to 90% of the people that walk through the door here looking for a job need a place to live. You know, at $1,500 a bedroom, even at the rates that we're paying people, it's still unaffordable. It doesn't make sense for them.
North Dakota has one of the lowest unemployment rates in the country. It also has one of the fastest growing income rates. But a labor organization warns the state is also one of the most dangerous places to work. The AFL-CIO says it has a death rate 5 times higher than the national average. Most of those deaths happened in areas where mining and oil removal projects are taking place. The work may be dangerous, but people continue to look for jobs in towns like Williston. Dean Bangsund is an economist at North Dakota State University.
Now we're seeing that technology is allowing us to put the wells closer together without affecting the performance of the wells. So the ecology and the technology and the economics is evolving.
He says it is too early to tell what the long-term economic and environmental effects will be.
This is a relatively new technology. It's being adjusted. It's undergoing tweaks and refinements.